welcome to April's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director. Here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our library podcasts. We have Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
And Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
How's it going?
And Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
So we're keeping up with our format for the podcast, where we invite different staff members to join us each week and let them pick a topic for our library chat. We'll discuss the topic, books, and podcasts, as we've always done, but with a special guest that we can spotlight. So our guest today, who we will be spotlighting, is none other than Leslie.
Yay!
So welcome, Leslie.
Well, thanks. Great to be here.
So, as I do, we'll start with the fun questions. So, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do at the library?
Sure. Well, I'm the Special Services Librarian, and I do a lot of cataloging. So when you're searching for those books in the catalog, I'm making sure that they're searchable and findable. For everyone to see and use. I have two kids and a dog and now a gecko and a husband. So just a happy family of six now.
How is the gecko?
He's good. Yes. He just shed his first skin and, ate it. So that's what they do. So that means he's healthy. So it's all good.
What name did he land on?
We landed on Milo.
Milo.
Yeah. My son gave in.
How perfect for that. I read a book this morning that had a gecko in it.
Oh, yeah. He's actually so very cute. He likes to hide too much, though. So we got him a new structure so you can see, instead of him going, like, in it, you can see it's, like, more of a cave than a rock with a hole in it. So we can see him more because he likes to hide.
How big is he?
Right now he's probably about 6 inches.
Okay.
Does he make sound?
No. No. Well, I haven't heard him make a sound.
Okay.
Tell somebody.
What else can we ask?
Yeah. We'll have to get updates on the gecko.
Yeah. Gecko. Yeah, she like puts her phone up there and does a time-lapse video of him at night because that's when he's most active. And so you can see him roaming around. It's kind of fun, but during the day he just hangs out in his little rock and sleeps.
Hangs out, sleeps.
Well, congrats on your new addition to your family.
It's fun.
So, what topic have you chosen for us today?
Well, I've chosen the All Iowa Reads program, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I am the co-chair of the Adult All Iowa Reads Committee. So I thought we could talk about the books that we selected this year. I've been on the committee for 2 years. This will be my third year selecting. So I don't know if you want me just to jump in, talk about All Iowa Reads and all that fun stuff.
I had a lot of questions about the selecting and how that works. So.
Yeah, okay. So it started in 2003 by the Iowa Center for the Book, just to, like, foster a sense of unity through reading. So it started out with just the adult title, and then in 2018 they added kids and teens. We have about 10 people on our committee. Each age group has a committee, so there's a kids committee, a teen committee, and an adult committee. And so there are different criteria that we use when selecting, and they're pretty similar for all the different age groups. But for the adult one, which I'm a part of, the title must, I'm going to read here, raise universal social issues relevant to Iowans, lend itself to sustained, spirited, and in-depth discussion, be available by January 1st of the selection year in a variety of accessible formats. Strike a balance between literary merit and broad appeal, and have an Iowa or Midwest connection. And we do strive to make a selection that is from an inclusive group of titles that reflects a diverse readership. And we reevaluate this criteria every year. And we just this year, to have an Iowa or Midwest connection was like a desirable requirement, but not a mandatory one. And we just kind of made it a mandatory one this year because we thought that was important for the All Iowa Reads title. So when we meet, we just met like 2 weeks ago, and we each bring 2 to 3 titles of books that we would recommend to the group. So right now I think there's about 15 titles on our long list. So then we read about 50 pages of those books-ish. And then we come back in early June and narrow it down to about 7 or 8. And then we read all of that book. And then in the fall, we'll make our final selection. So it can be nonfiction, it can be fiction. I know in the past they've tended to be like super depressing books. I haven't loved all Iowa Reads books in the past. No offense to anyone who's chosen those, but
they are always a bit sad.
They are a bit sad. So this past year, the winning title for 2022 is The Butterfly Effect by Rachel McKinney. And the front of the title or the cover of the book makes it look like, and she talked about this, we'll talk about it a little bit, but it does make it look like it's a romantic comedy, like it's a fluffy read, and it's not. But it's not depressing, like, or as depressing as some of the previous titles. So that was the winning title. I don't know if you want me to keep rambling on here, but
I think what always impresses me, too, is the number of not only public libraries, but, like, other groups who will take that on as something they're going to do is all read the All I Reads and have a discussion.
Yeah.
It's really grown since it started, mm-hmm. I think, and I think it's, I think a lot of people more and more know about it because you guys were on the radio, too, correct?
Yeah, they do the announcement on Talk of Iowa, that Iowa Public Radio show. So that was done usually about November-ish. And that was exciting. It gets more awareness out there.
It does.
Yeah, I think that the goal was to bring communities and libraries and other organizations together reading the same title in the same year, I think, was like the ultimate goal. So
sounds like a lot of good work, Leslie, that you do.
And I know our library's book groups, for sure, one, if not both, usually read the All Iowa Reads at some point, mm-hmm. too, as well. So
we actually, the book club that I'm a part of here with the library, we just read last year's title for our last meeting, and one of the patrons said, I usually find these books just horrible, but I really liked this one. So maybe we're trending towards not
positive. Maybe we're onto something.
Yeah. There's so much thought that goes into making that decision. I didn't realize that.
There's a lot of reading involved, and that's mm-hmm. part of the reason why I like being on the committee. I'm not a huge fan of being told what to read, so that part kind of gets to me.
I can't imagine that, no.
There's books I would never have read that I've now read, so.
So is there books that you like that you didn't think you'd like a lot of the times?
Yeah, there was one that's on the short list this year that's a lot about football that I wasn't super excited about.
You never would have picked up?
Never, ever. But it ended up preen. It was really good.
Is it Love, Zach?
Yeah, it is Love, Zach.
Yeah. I like that book. It's pretty.
I like the idea, honestly, that you get to do the first 50 pages. Because for me, too, if somebody tells me I need to read something by a certain date, good luck. I feel like I'm back in school.
Similarity.
It took me 6 months to read one Stephen King book, so yes, you're talking to I'm right there with you on that.
But I do think that's it, because a lot of times we feel like you have, once you start a book, you have to finish that mm-hmm. book, whether you've got an idea of whether you're going to like it or not. Yeah. And I just find that interesting that you guys are,
very dedicated.
Embrace that. There's so many books. I always tell people there's so many books out there. Don't read one you don't like.
I know.
There are
or it's
so
not the right
books.
Time to read it.
Right.
I think happens to me a lot is maybe if I wait set it aside and read it a bit later. It'll be a better time for me in whatever's happening to read it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's a different topic.
That's another podcast.
When we're forced to read books, we are.
I'm going to talk about the books.
Oh.
So for the adult, I said the winning title was The Butterfly Effect by Rachel Mance McKinney. And she is an author that actually lives in Ames and works, I think she works for Iowa State, if I remember correctly. So I think it is her first, no, I better not say that. It's one of her first novels, if it's not her first. And she, the book is, I don't know if anybody in here has read it.
I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman named Greta who has gone to, I think South America to, she studies insects, but then her brother has a health issue. So she comes back and helps him. And she is, just, you know, kind of grouchy. She doesn't really like people. And being around
people. She likes
people.
Being alone.
Yeah.
The synopsis I read said she's prickly.
Yeah, she is prickly. Yeah.
In the podcast, curmudgeon.
Yeah, she is. And it's just kind of her dealing with her brother's health issue and her mom and her dad and her brother's fiance. It's all set at Iowa, so she comes back and she's at Iowa State and at Ryman Gardens. A lot of it is taking place there. She gets a job there. So it was just, it was a good title just because of the setting of it being in Ames and, just kind of the different characters. I liked it because also, like, they talk about the podcast, which we'll talk about in a sec, is she just isn't a very likable character, and it was hard for me to read the book because I didn't like her very much. But then it makes you think, oh, maybe I do like this book. I don't have to like every character, so... I don't know, it was a good choice.
There's a lot of tension, period, you know, throughout the book, and she definitely had her, you know, that part where she did like that, being that individual that, you know, when she went away, and she, it's interesting, though, because she found that through the love of, you know, or insects and that type of, she found that being her spot.
Yeah.
You know? But yet she was forced into coming back, and then with her brother getting sick, and... forced her into really thinking outside of that narrow vision, narrow-mindedness with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
And not to jump ahead, but we'll talk about the podcast in a minute, but when they interviewed her in the podcast about the book, I thought it was fascinating. She wrote that book in three different perspectives, but then had to, after her editor read it, said it's Greta's story. Yeah, so she had to go back, which fascinated me, and rewrite the book. Through Greta, the main character's perspective. So, thought that was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
It didn't sound like they recommended that they're in the podcast. They're all authors, and they're like, "Oh, everybody has to do that once."
Yep.
They're very talkative.
It is interesting, the sort of behind the scenes of writing a book, and just like how, like, you don't realize how many edits and things, or like you could literally like rip the entire book apart and start. You know, from a whole new perspective.
So also on the other books that were on the short list for the adult were How Much of These Hills is Gold by C. Pam Zhang, Valentine by Elizabeth Wetmore, The Monsters We Make by Callie White. And this one was like our second runner-up. It just didn't have great availability. But it was kind of based on the Johnny Gosch, Eugene Martin, Paperboy kidnapping set in Des Moines. So it was a really good story. Barn 8 by Deb Olin Unferth. The Logger Queen of Minnesota by J. Ryan Stradle. And this book, that one was actually probably the third choice, but it was just so widely known that we decided to not make it a winner. But... that book, for anybody who likes to drink beer or is into making beer, it's a really It's a really good book. My husband, like, loved it, and he's not a reader, so there you go.
Does he brew beer, though?
No, but he drinks it.
Okay, so. All right.
He's taken on the gecko as a family member, so you never know.
And then the last one was Love, Zach, Small Town Football and the Life and Death of American Boy by Reed Forgrave, about Zach Easter, who lived in Des Moines and ultimately killed himself because of his CTE that they found out he had after he had passed away. So that was one that I was surprisingly enjoyed. So that's the short list for adults. I don't know if we want to move into teen and kids quick.
Yeah, I would say just that list. They are really diverse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Yeah, we can move into teen.
Okay, teen, so that's, I think they say typically like ages 12 to 18 for the teen group. What I Carry by Jennifer Longo was the winner. I believe this book is about a child who was adopted. She's Korean, and she was adopted by Caucasian parents, and just kind of her in foster care, just kind of her journey through that. On the short list for teen was Slay by Brittany Morris, and honestly, I don't know much about these. I apologize. Displacement by Kiku Hughes. Camp by Elsie Rosen, and that one actually sounds very, very good. I recommended it to my son, and he started reading it, and he's interested in that one. Blanca and Roja by Anne-Marie L'Amour, and The Weight of Our Sky by Hannah Alkoff. The kids' choices is typically for kids ages 8 to 12. The winner was The Lonely Heart of Maybelle Lane by Kay O'Shaughnessy, and I haven't read this, but I have heard such good things about this book. It's about a girl who hears her dad, she's estranged from her dad, and she hears his voice on the radio from some station in another state, and travels to enter some singing contest to try and get closer to her dad, and it's supposed to be amazing.
That's on my list to read. I've heard good things about it, too.
So the short list for the kids is Show Me a Sign by Anne Claire Lizotte, Stand Up Yumi Chung by Jessica Kim, Sal and Gabby Break the Universe by Carlos Hernandez, From the Desk of Zoe Washington by Janae Marks, and Itch by Polly Farquhar. So... I listened to the somebody talk about all these books, and they all sound really good. So I hope to be able to recommend them to my children. Well, maybe not the little ones, but yeah, good selections and good diversity among the titles and what they represent. So
actually, the book Show Me a Sign. The historical fiction is always a good read.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love historical nonfiction, but when the All Iowa Reads does come out each year, it's a great opportunity to find books to mm-hmm. send out to the Books for Kids.
Right.
I find it. So actually this book, Show Me a Sign, I've sent out a couple different places.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a good one.
Another thing that's kind of All Iowa Reads related, I had down too to just talk a minute about the Des Moines Book Festival we just participated in last month. We had an information table, and then Denise got to do a adult workshop, Intro to Braille, and a story time, just an introduction to Braille there. But it was a great place, I thought, to meet local Iowa authors, some Midwest. I guess there's a couple from Omaha. But and then I know for sure the Love, Zach author, mm-hmm. Reed Forgrave, was there.
Yeah, he was there.
You got to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually I wandered around a little bit and ended up buying a book from a local author.
Mm-hmm.
I can share that with you guys if you want. The author is Mary Lee Ashford, and she writes Sugar and Spice Mysteries, and I'm just going to read the synopsis. So for those of you who like cozy mysteries with recipes in them, it's as co-owners of Sugar and Spice Cookbooks, Sugar and Dixie have seen simple confections bring friends together and spark fiery feuds. But this time the recipe truly is to die for. And the one I'm reading is called Game of Scones.
They always have such fun, punny
they
titles.
They do. I just was noticing that.
And the other ones in the series is Risky Biscuits and Quiche of Death. So
that's a cool
Risky Biscuit.
But it was fun just to get to talk to the author, and her husband is actually the one that comes up with the recipes. Mm-hmm. So he gave me some tips on the recipes that were in the book's blueberry lemon scone recipe.
Yes, sounds delicious.
So you'll be making those?
Yeah. I think
she should, yeah.
But this is actually set in Iowa. It's a fictional small Iowa town, but very... You know it's Iowa, and you know references to Des Moines and things like that. So it's kind of fun to have a cozy mystery set in Iowa.
Yeah.
Thought I'd mention our.
Yeah, that was a fun day. I really enjoyed being at the book festival. Mm-hmm. Got to talk to lots of people.
Fun.
Yeah.
That was fun to people watch too.
Yeah, it was.
So, are there any other Iowa authors you guys like to read?
Well, the one that comes to mind, I've only read a couple of her books, is Heather Gunkoff, mm-hmm. big mystery writer. Pretty good writer. Lots of, you know, thrilling action. So she lives in Eastern Iowa, I think. She's been nominated a few times for All Iowa Reads.
I connected with a children's author. Actually, he's going to come in for our summer reading program as a guest and read his books that are going to be in our library. But he is he's one of those silly writers. In fact, silly's in his title, and he's funny, and he has such a great personality. And his name is Bruce. I didn't want to correct I say it wrong, but it's like F-A-U-C-T or something. F-A-U-C, like almost. I can't announce it, I'll mess it up, but that's how he spells it. But he has a love for animals, and I think with animals, children love to read those books, and they're having Brill added, I think, right now.
Yep.
So, we have a lot of great Iowa authors.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I know, collection development-wise for the library, we try to grab those local authors and titles. Whether it's audio or Braille, and I know our volunteer narrators spend a lot of time doing kind of those local pieces to add to our collection. We want to talk about the podcast?
Sure.
I got to wiggle this in, and so I started driving home, and you know, traffic, listening to the podcast, trying to turn it up, and there was just a set energy right from the start that they were, you know, you got the music, and then I had to repeat some of it a little bit to read. It's like, what? No, what was that? But there's definitely a lot. I love their words they use in describing things, but it was good.
So the podcast that Leslie picked for us is called Unlikable Female Characters Podcast.
Yeah.
And the little blurb I grabbed was, it's a podcast featuring feminist thriller writers in conversation about women who don't give a damn if you like them.
I see. Yeah.
And so there are three, but I think in the episode we listened to, there's gone.
Yeah.
So it's... Kristen and Lane, and they're both authors of thrillers and mysteries, and then author Wendy Hurd was the one that was not in the episode that Leslie chose for us. And the episode is episode 57, Heartland Bitches with Rachel Manns McKinney, so the author of The Butterfly Effect, the All Iowa Reads book. So I thought that was pretty fun to hear the author talk about her books, but... For this episode, it's Kristen and Lane are joined by fellow Midwestern lady Rachel Manns McKinney for a deep dive into the phenomenon of Midwest Nice, From Potlucks to Passive Aggression. Yeah. And I just had to laugh just in the first parts of it about the Midwest nice phenomenon.
Yeah.
I was talking to Sarah about this morning.
Yes.
Because, Midwest nice, I just find it hilarious, too. But my wife grew up in the South and then moved when she was in middle school. And both her parents are from Minnesota, so, grew up Midwest. And she could not get over, the first month, why everyone was waving at her constantly. Anytime they drove anywhere, people were always waving or, saying hi, and they walked by. Those things just bothered her to no end. So she was being watched constantly as this middle school girl in a new town. So that's what, her parents had to, really, talk her out. It's okay. You don't know them. It's being friendly.
And I got thrown into that. And I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and so a bigger city, still Midwest, so we still have some level of that Midwest nice, I moved from there to Clarinda, Iowa, which is about 5,700, I think, people, and couldn't understand, I would be on my mission to go to the store or wherever I'm going, and took a while to get there because you had to visit or say hi or
talk about the weather.
And at first, so I'm like, your wife, Todd. I'm what is happening? And then, but then now I find myself though I'm the one, in downtown Des Moines. Sometimes he'll be like, hi. Or night, and my husband's like, what are you doing?
What's happening?
I don't know. But I was telling Tyler, I kind of have a walking to our car buddy. When I leave work, we seem to always, no matter what time I leave, the same gentleman is headed to his car. And it was icy out one morning, and I almost bit it on the corner. And he was like, that was close. And I'm like, I know. And so the next night, though, he was like down the sidewalk away, and I slipped a bit. And he's like, well, at least we know someone will be around when we fall. And I'm like, yeah. But now it's like, even if we're not even very close, he'll give a little nod or a wave. And I'm like, but then I'm like, so what if I stop seeing him? Should I be concerned? Then there's this whole level of responsibility, but that, I agree with that. I also had to laugh at the compliment conversation. Yes. If somebody
got it on sale.
So I like your outfit.
Yeah.
You always have to, you can't just say thanks.
Yeah.
It has to be, I got it on sale.
Yes.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
That's funny.
Loud.
Yeah, me so too. True. Me too.
And then
always this explanation.
Yep.
Following.
Yep. Even the weather piece was making me laugh.
Yeah.
We can't just be the weather's terrible. We have to be well, it's nice in the sun, even though it's -30. I totally understand. Yeah.
If the wind wasn't around, it'd be a lot warmer. That's always a classic one.
Yeah. Well, I think I say that a lot myself.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that you can carry on a 10-minute conversation about the weather with someone you can absolutely not stand, but you can do it.
Well, I heard next week. Just carrying it on forever.
So true.
What would we do if we lived in Southern California where it's 72 and sunny every day?
Every day. Every day. Can't talk about it.
Yeah. What would you talk about?
Can't talk about it.
And they kind of talked about that because the one Wendy who wasn't there is from California, isn't she?
Yeah.
And they said that she would just be baffled by the whole discussion about weather and why we're even talking about it.
Yep.
Iowa thing. Midwest.
And I had to laugh too when we went into the conversation about potlucks and funeral casseroles.
Oh, yeah.
The Snickers salad one really
Snickers
is like.
Snickers salad.
Because that's one I have not had a Snickers salad in years.
I've never had a Snickers
salad.
Oh, they're everywhere.
I've heard of them.
Okay, add it to the list.
Do you want the recipe? You want the recipe, Leslie?
Because that's pretty helpful.
Chop up a bunch of Snickers butter. Chop up a bunch of apples.
Some whipped cream.
Add 4 pounds of whipped cream.
Yeah, and there you go.
Sometimes pudding.
I don't think I've ever had it with pudding. I've only had it with the whipped cream.
A salad.
Yes, and then it's Snickers salad.
Now it's healthy.
So funny.
The sweetness from the apples mixed with the sweetness of the whipped cream and Snickers just to form a sweetness, nothing but sugar. Yeah.
It does sound good, actually.
Okay, we'll have to do scones and Snickers.
Snickers salad.
See, we're already coming up with our own potluck.
There we go.
There you go.
But I did definitely relate to a lot of that Midwest nice. But it was funny because I was talking to Leland, who's another staff member, And he was talking to me. We kind of got on the topic of this Midwest nice, and he said that he, in past summers, has worked with some people who are from the South. And he said he had a hard time knowing when they were, a couple times he had to ask them, are you, like, insulting me right now? with the, you know, bless your heart and different things like that. So I had to laugh because that wasn't translating into the passive-aggressive Midwest
nice.
Catching on to that. One of my favorite TV characters has a saying that I just, I love. I haven't used it yet, but she would say, I love that journey for you. Yeah, we would say that.
Journey for you.
Not for me, but for you.
For you.
I don't know. Was there anything else from the podcast? I think we already talked about how I did like hearing about her kind of writing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always am a big fan of how the sausage is made, is how I put it. We're like just getting behind the scenes of figuring out everyone's process and what they do. So yeah, that was interesting.
So I like that podcast, Leslie.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled upon that one, so I might have to listen to more of those.
Title's hilarious too.
Yeah, I love the title.
I mean, it's a great podcast name for what it is, and yeah, it's funny.
Well, and the unlikable female characters fit right in with the butterfly effect.
Yeah,
Greta.
It does.
I was trying to think of other ones. They mentioned that, or they asked that, but I can't think of any other characters that I haven't really liked, really. Just off the top of my head, anyway.
I'm trying to think, too. Usually it's I didn't like the book at all and didn't.
Yeah.
If I get to a certain point, I don't care what happens to any of them, any of the characters in the book, that's usually a sign I should probably move on.
Do you continue through to the end? Or are you just, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm stepping away.
And it might be what I say I'll come back to. Usually means I don't ever make it back there.
Yeah. I always read the last page or, you know, that last paragraph. It's okay. I just like to know what's going to
happen.
I'm curious.
And you usually reach a point where you know there's going to be, like, no character arc. Like, this person's not.
Like, this is it.
Yeah. That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
It's true when you get in those ways. And then you sometimes Google, does the person make it? Does the person? I find out by Google tells me.
Oh, boo!
Okay. It survives.
Boo.
I can read this now.
I know you do that stuff too.
I'm
going to
confess. I'm going to read the last few pages sometimes.
Yeah, I
person.
Do.
It drives my daughter crazy. She's like,
if the book's droning on, I sometimes do that.
I get that. Like, if you're bored of the book, but you want to know how it ends, so then you can just pick a different book. Yeah. Like, that's not awful. Mm-hmm. But if you're into the book and you want to know if the character you like dies, like, come on now, come on.
Sometimes I have to read ahead, too. We talked about this, because I got to know, like, what's going to happen to that dog. I just need to know, is that dog
that's easy.
Mentioned?
Just assume the worst when it comes to dogs.
Or the cat or whatever animal is now involved in the story.
Watching a show the other day and there was a dog involved, so I googled, does the dog live or die? It passes away. Okay, I'm done watching this show.
Yeah, done.
But I think it does pose an interesting question, you know, so they're unlikable, but that doesn't mean I might not care about what happens.
Exactly.
I think it comes down to more connection.
Exactly.
Any other thoughts about Iowa authors or Midwest nice passive aggression?
It can be so relatable, though. That podcast was good.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today for our April 2022 Library Chat episode. Thank you to Leslie for being our special guest and sharing with us today about the All Iowa Reads. And thank you for your role on that committee, too. If you missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast along with book lists are available on our library blog, iowalibrary.blog. You can also find episodes from the other library podcasts, Library News, and Braille Bits on the library blog as well. So thanks everybody, and thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you next month.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.